Let me just say a few words about myself. People always seem to do that, so you know where I'm coming from and what my biases are. First of all, I'm not a pastor. I'm a layperson. And I struggled this week a little bit with doing this, simply because I came here with my family for a vacation and did not really come with the idea that I was going to be sitting here on Friday afternoon. In fact, I was reflecting with someone that had I not been here, I would have been struggling back now from Copper Basin. So I'm not sure which is going to be the better for it. In any event, my background is I'm a professor at Oregon State University. I promise not to lecture. This is meant as a discussion. Friends of mine always say I talk for 50 minutes and then I quit. Again, I will try not to do that. My interest in peacemaking is a relatively recent one in the 43 years I've been on this earth. And if maybe we can get into that, but I felt it important for you to understand that. I have found recently within my last year in the congregation that I'm in that there has been a lot of conflict. And that was part of the reason for trying to get together some discussion today to see if we can perhaps dialogue and talk a little bit about conflict that does arise in congregations and to some extent maybe focus a little bit on the concept of peacemaking. And we'll get at that word in a little bit. The purpose that I have here today that I come with, and maybe you come with other purposes, is one, to share some experiences, to talk a little bit about maybe some techniques and approaches to peacemaking, and perhaps also identify some resources that we might use. We'll talk a little bit about some process that one might go through to do that, talk about the word peace itself and the word conflict. And then also perhaps, if there is time, more specifically about the specific topic of peacemaking as it applies to the word peace within the congregation. First, in terms of the process, let me just borrow some things from some people that have been here this week and presented. They're not my ideas necessarily, but I felt that they perhaps related a little bit to the idea of addressing turmoil and conflict that might arise within our own congregations. First of all, I think we need to be aware of ourselves, of who we are and where we've come from. And I think next, and not necessarily in this order, but we need to be aware of Jesus and the message of the gospel and what that gospel has to say to us about nonviolence, about reconciliation, and how we might look at that very intentionally. And then thirdly, I think after we've done that, borrow a word that comes from someone by the name of Jim Wallace, and that is conversion. It's not a new word in the church, but basically it involves change. Change of who we are, and with that change hopefully comes some action. It's not enough just for us to change from within, but we must then, as we change, do something with that change. As I said, I don't want to sit up here and lecture. I would like to really open this up in terms of discussion, and perhaps we can share some of our thoughts about the kinds of conflicts that some of us have gone through in our congregations, and see how those have been addressed, where the problems came, and how those were reconciled. Because I think it is for most of us, our lives in congregations that spur us on in our Christian life. when we come to a place like this is a chance to reflect differently from the experiences that we have in our local congregations. We get away from people that we normally rub shoulders with, and we get some new ideas and new thoughts, and that's good. We need that kind of retreat. But ultimately, within a few days or week or so, we will be going back to our own respective congregations, and we will have to, in some way, again, relate to those individuals that we've left behind. Let me just very quickly share my experience in the last year in our congregation, and then ask you to perhaps share some of yours and how you've dealt with that. And I've identified three conflicts that we've gone through in our congregation. The first of these is, in fact, peace. Sometimes that word itself raises, if you'll pardon the expression, some red flags. And I've always been curious as to why a discussion of peace within a congregation does in itself just cause conflict. But nevertheless, the organization and the meeting of what we call a peacemaking group has created division within our congregation. Mixed in with that is the word politics. And that has engendered great discussion as well. Not only within the confines of individuals, but also on the church council. Secondly, we have gone through another type of separation in our church, and that is our pastor left because of marital problems. And in the last year, we've had to go through the call process. And that has led to, unfortunately, some division as well. And a lot of different things have come out as a result of that, that one perhaps felt maybe was there, but in some way suppressed. And suddenly, there were different groups of people wanting different things and nothing pulling them together. The third one, which is a sort of a continuing conflict that maybe some of you have, and that is the youth and how to work with that situation. All of those have become conflicts that have developed within the last year or so that I've seen and struggled with in our congregation. Now, you know, how have we dealt with those? Some of them we have dealt with in terms of trying to bring groups together to discuss, sort out ideas and differences. In other situations, that's not happened. So those conflicts still remain. The call process still goes on. And the process itself is one which, again, should be a healing process instead of a separating process. And hopefully that will happen. Those are just quickly some things that we've gone through, and I guess maybe if some of you have had similar experiences, maybe we might talk about some of those and try and identify ways in which you've dealt with those. So I'll try and open that up now and see what your experiences have been.
I need a little more background. Is this a young congregation or older?
This is an older congregation. It's been organized since the early 40s. Has a baptized membership of about 1,300. Has been very, very active within our synod. I come from Corvallis, Oregon, a place called Grace Lutheran Church. And we had up to 2 years, or till about a year ago this time, two pastors. We had a pastor and then an associate pastor. And within the period of about 2 months, both of them left. One we knew was going to, the other was unexpected. And so that was part of this turmoil that began within this last year. So that's some of the, you know, the basic background. I don't know if you need more to it than that. We live in a university community, which sometimes, not always, sometimes makes the milieu of the congregation a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. What synod? What synod?
This is the LCA. Many people coming not only from LCA, but ALC background. I came from an ALC background, and I couldn't tell the difference. It took me a year to sort that out. Just never got into that. But that can be important in terms of the support that one gets. There are different support groups that I have seen both in the ALC and the LCA in terms of helping congregations through this. And we have received assistance. That's one way. You know, how we dealt with this conflict.
How are the church councils?
The church council is comprised of 15 individuals.
15. And how many on the call committee?
The call committee is the church council.
That would probably be a problem. You should have council members generally. Then you pick up other groups within the congregation. But if having the church council, I don't think is so a possibility would be to extend it to other members in the congregation, still with council, several members or two or three, and about nine or.
We struggle a little bit with that one in terms of. I was on the council for 6 years, and saw how it operated. Left as of last year, when this just sort of as this process was getting started, and there was long discussion with the congregation, with the council about that, in terms of what was the best way to deal with that, and that in itself became a dividing issue. It was interesting. Everything that came up seemed to be differing viewpoints, ways of seeing this.
And this was done at a congregational meeting?
Yes. Yes.
I'm coming from a two-point parish way out on the coast, and both of them very small, about 80 to 100. And one is a little bit poorer than the other, and the poor pastor, for the last 10 years, about every 3 years, we had to go through the call committee process and call another one. And there's always, you need peacekeeping and peacemaking there all the time between two when you share one, you know.
How did that work? Was it a smooth process for you? What did you do to facilitate that?
Ever so often another issue comes up, like the pastor had to sit through two council meetings and through everything double, you know, and then we came together one time and said we should have one council meeting. And just by sheer, not determination, but by a willingness and a few compromises, this did come about, you know, that at least he didn't have to sit through two council meetings. But that has fallen apart again. The other church, not the one I go to, they have a happy-go-lucky attitude. One month they have a council meeting, next month they don't. So it's always, I mean, you're never stationary with two. There's always something, and it's just, I'm trying to be a peacemaker myself, so when I'm sitting on the council, you know, I can pour oil on the waves, so. And this is why I'm primarily sitting in here, to get someone new ideas, just in case something erupts again. Which is always, you have your ups and downs with two, and you're pulling, you know, trying to pull together under one pastor.
How many on your council?
We have nine in one church.
How close would you say are the people that, like on the council? Terms of being able to share with each other, is that
with the two? Well, there has always been the towns themselves. Even the schools can't get together. You know, there's always been a rivalry, and so and we try to have, like when we have Lenten services, the first 6 weeks it's in one, and then the next week is in the and the next six. No, not six, four. I forgot now. How many do we have?
Six
altogether, isn't it? So it's three, yeah. Well, whatever. And I must truthfully say, when I go to the other church, that's not my home. This is, you know, So the identities will never merge. There is a strong Raymond, there's a strong South Bend, you know. And it depends on people. Some people, when they're elected to the council, work better together than others again.
Do you have then shared worship sometimes in terms of the two congregations?
Yes, and Christmas is 1 year here, and next year, you know.
Does your council go on a retreat? Do you ever have retreats where you spend a large amount of time together rather than just the one, 2 or 3 hours?
Occasionally we had it. Occasionally, yeah.
That was a technique that I found was very, very beneficial. We had each year there's a retreat where this group of 15, and then there are the staff, which may bring it up to 18 or 20, mm-hmm. come together for about 2.5 days. And in that time, you get to know the individual in some different ways. So that's one technique.
But the trouble is, you know, then they go out of office
there's a continual
change. Ways.
There's
yeah.
a continual change. And
yes.
One of the things I have felt is important is to, as people leave, that kind of setting, that you intentionally try and bring them back in from time to time, because their experience is beneficial.
Oh, I've recycled several times.
It's not so much of, you know, having the same people serve. I think we need to broaden that out. But yeah. Certainly to...
Don't your constitution limit it to the how many terms you can serve?
Oh, well, yeah. I'm out in between a year or so. And one time I'm a trustee, and then I'm a deacon. And then I'm the social secretary, you know. So I'm recycled over the last... 12, 13 years, several times in different capacities.
Has anybody else had any other experiences, either with this kind of process or just with peacemaking itself, with the concept of peace within the congregation?
Have you thought about an interim pastor?
We had an interim pastor.
Well, interim pastor. Yeah. Who would?
We did.
Oh.
We did have a interim pastor who's just left as of last week.
And he couldn't sort out these three major things that you were specifically with that in mind. You mentioned three areas: the education and the peacemaking, of course.
When the individual came, he said he did not want to make any changes. Tried to work as best he could with that, and sort of intentionally stayed out of the call process. Indirectly became involved because of his ministry style. People wanted the individual to be the person that was going to be called. And there was the understanding from the bishop that that couldn't happen. So that was was further kind of division, actually. You know, there was another group that wanted that individual. And at one point, I jokingly told people in the council, I said, I really think we ought to sell this story to NBC and come in and make it a soap opera, because it took on that tone. I needed some humor at that point. Any other experiences that you've had? Yes.
Well, the church that I'm in, we're having exactly the same problems that you're having, and we've had the interim, and the call of the interim brought more divisions. But our church is an older church. I don't even know. Verna, you should know when it was started. But I mean, and we've got some of the originals, beginners of the church, and they just will not give in. And anybody that's come in later. You're worth nothing.
That's interesting. And let me just reflect on that for a second, if I can. Because to me, the same kind of thing happened in terms of where I've been going with peace. And one of the things that I found was helpful for me, and I think for others, was to sit down with as many of those people as possible and sort of share your own story of where you've come from and where you're headed. And I found that when I did this in terms of peace, and I began to verbalize it and verbalize it with others, that it really helped. It helped them to understand who I was, and then as they would relay their stories, for me to understand who they are. And I don't know if that, I would just suggest that as a possible approach.
Well, I think that's been tried also,
and that hasn't.
And they'll listen.
Resolved it.
But as soon as they get with the four or five so-called ringleaders, they've forgotten what you've said to them, or their feelings for you, or the conversation you had with them.
Who does most of you work in your church then?
Well, right now, nobody, unfortunately.
Unfortunately who?
Unfortunately, no one right now. Because those older people are so old, they can't do anything. And they have driven away all of the young families. You know, so our Sunday school has like nothing. We've maybe got 5 children. And this is a big city, a big church.
How big a church?
Well, I don't know all the statistics, but...
398
What? 398
actually.
What city? Yeah, it's just dwindled down.
We have 2 struggling circles left. And...
we're all from the same church. We're trying to learn.
Have you had anyone from, sometimes when a person comes in from the outside, they can help see those problems and identify them and work with them. Have you?
I would like to say a few words.
Done that? Have you done anything on
those lines? I'm a member of the Council of Augustine Lutheran. We asked the bishop to come down to help us get ourselves squared away because we knew the... I should back up a little bit. By the time the bishop got there, Pastor Grafholner had already resigned, which was quite a shock to the whole congregation because even those members that were on the council didn't even realize this was going on, which is another story in itself. So we asked the bishop to come down, which he did immediately after Pastor Grafholner resigned. He suggested an outside council. He gave us 2 names, a man in Chicago and a man in Seattle, and at this time, I don't want to name them, who they were. And if you call for an outside help, and you really, truly believe in that outside help, do not get anybody from the West Coast or anybody from the Midwest to come and help you. And we have since learned that people from the East Coast do a much better job. This man came in and he went through the same process that we've gone through, I think 11 times in the history of Augustana, or 12 times probably, throughout their 73, 74 years of existence. And to me, as a member of council, he did absolutely nothing but sign a check for $3,000, which we, Council of Caden, gave him. He came in, he questioned a lot of people. He spent a lot of time traveling back and forth from one city to the other. When he was with us, he was so tired that he could not really give a good presentation. He used up probably 6 reams of newsprint of saying to me absolutely nothing from what we didn't already know. So we finally got down to the bottom line of it and asked him what we can do in that. He told us exactly what the bishop told us. Either get your act in shape or where he, the bishop, will terminate the church.
But how do you do that? He told us our problems, which we already knew.
Once you had identified your problems, was there some consensus as to how to address these? Were there congregational meetings, or did you still have these smaller groups working?
I have more hours in a congregational meeting than I have on my job at work. And this may all seem on the negative side of it, which is to start out with, I really truly thought that Augustana could be saved. And I would welcome with open arms the counselor, the outside person. I'm very pleased that we have a bishop, as we do today, who really looks much further down the road than we at Augustana are looking like now. He told us what was going to happen. He told us what he was going to do to us if it didn't happen, and it's not happening. And it's...
Has that promise helped you, or of what would be done?
No, at first it was a real shining star and the whole thing, but it's now just, it's not even an ember. I feel that I have an obligation. I've been elected to the council for 3 years. I'm going to
I want to stay with my obligation to myself and to my church. I will not leave Augustana, but 6 months, I don't think there will be an Augustana.
Do you have a pastor now?
No, we have, excuse me, we do have an interim pastor, Pastor Olson. He was with First Emmanuel, but he was not, he was more in social work. He was at First Emmanuel at $1 a year man. And the bishop asked him to come over to Augustana, which he obeyed the bishop's wishes.
It's difficult when you have a long history, which is brought forward, and it's hard to see into the future. I don't have a solution to your problem, unfortunately. One of the things that, as I was doing some preparation for this today, that I looked at was Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And I would just suggest that maybe the group that is from Augustana spend some time together the next few days and look at that, because it addresses somewhat that same concern, although it's more directed at Paul and how Paul responds to the people in Corinth, because there was conflict. And perhaps through some Bible study, that may be one mechanism by which you can identify some of those differences. And Paul,
we can't even get people to come to a Bible study.
Well, you may have to use
this group.
Another name. I don't know. You may have to use a different name for it other than a Bible study. But Paul does talk about forgiveness in there, and it, you know, perhaps some forgiveness that, in which one remembers that they've forgiven, would be helpful. That was part of the process that we have had to go through, was the forgiveness of what we felt, at least some people felt, had been done to us by our pastor. There are others who didn't feel that way, fortunately. And others, you know, who really need to go through that forgiveness process and prayer. You know, that's just a suggestion. As I said, I'm a layperson, I'm not a theologian, but to me, forgiveness is a very important place to start from. And once you've gone through that forgiveness process, to remember that you've forgiven. And that's maybe the hardest part, to recognize there are differences. We can reconcile them. And if we feel there has been hurt, harm, injury, that we go through that forgiveness process.
Was there a division amongst the people about the pastor? They'd like to have a different pastor?
Well, there's back going back five pastors, and I'll just go through them quickly. One, there was a division over moving a certain piece of furniture. Another one was the baptizing of elder of the church, whose people were such that the pastor would not baptize their son, which is was a very controversial thing. But it was just the altar cloth was not the right color one time, and the CC lounge was which is our new part of the church, did not have a steeple but had a flat roof on. See, that's the fourth pastor. Another pastor, they didn't like the music his wife played, and she played it the wrong way, which I don't know how you can play Jesus Loves You any other way but that. And it's just been things like this, you know. It has been our firm belief that since 19, somewhere in the mid-50s, they set out to destroy Augustana, and they're just about to the end of their work.
You mean amongst the members?
Some of the elder members, and, but it the church is, and like the bishop said, that, you know, that you're on this road, you're going to continue on to it, and how true he was, because we're going to end up the year $14,000 short of our budget. There's no way you can pick up another budget and continue on. We had two pastors. One we're going to lay off the first of October. And he's our visitation pastor, and that has created a little disharmony again amongst the older people, that they will not have a visitation pastor come October 1st. But it just keeps on going.
Finances seems to be one of your big troubles there.
Well, that just has come up recently. Until then, finances was not a problem. That's just happened since all these younger families have moved out. Yeah.
So Augustana, LCA, ALC?
LCA.
LCA, so the pastor is the head of the church, unlike ALC, where the church council is the head. Is that right? I'm asking.
No.
Not really.
Not really.
No.
The church council is, as an LCA member, I think confirm this, is really the body that is legally responsible for the church.
Yeah, that's.
And they hire the along with the congregation, the pastor. So it's that kind of
our
relationship.
Our call procedure is in our church is that we write a letter to the bishop and. Seattle asking the request for it. He will give us the names of the pastors who he thinks will serve best in our community.
And so I think this has come up more and more strife in the congregation, so that new office is even bring up too to deal with those situations. Yeah.
I don't know if there is such a mechanism in the LCA. I'm not aware of one. And although there are staff people that can serve that function, perhaps they've already considered that.
Mm-hmm.
It does sound like the mediator perhaps should have had a slightly different role of really mediating.
Yeah.
As you suggested, I think mediation. Very important process in resolving any kind of conflict, and really that's a very critical part of peacemaking is to have effective mediation. Any other experiences that
I really thought the bishop's job is to keep peace in all the congregations that he's responsible for.
Well, this is I think he is done more than without a staff, and being a friend of Pastor Grasswalmers, I think he is he's paid us more, you know, in his busy day he gives all the staff more time than really that. I don't think he was being fair to the rest of the sinners by giving us so much time. And he was the one that set up the mediator, the console, or whatever you want thing, and he was the one that thought he picked the best one for us. And I mean, all you can do is that. And to answer your question, yes, the bishop in our Senate is the peacemaker or the lid keeper on her, or whatever you want to say about it. And all the troubles go to the bishop first and then go on out and set them out.
You have a comment from over here, did
you? No.
Mm-hmm.
But in defense of the bishop, yes, I think. Maybe I didn't make myself clear enough on that. He gave us more than really what we asked for. I mean, he was asked what would happen to us if we did not square away our way, and he was very frank and very honest with us. And he said, you do this and I'll do that, or you do this and I'll do that. And that was the end of that.
One of the other suggestions that have come to me from other individuals as I've shared my experiences within our church and others have in other churches is at the risk of setting up another committee. The Lord knows that if we had had committees when the world was created, most of us would probably not be here. We'd still be waiting around for that. But sometimes it's valuable, I think, to have a group of individuals whose task it is to understand where there is division in the church and to meet perhaps on a regular basis to try and understand that and to hear that and to begin to reconcile the differences before they become full-blown battles and war. One of the models in terms of the steps and the key ingredients, let me just put them up on the board. And the ones that we've gone through in our peacemaking group, which is basically originated because of the threat of nuclear war, but I think the same kind of thing is applicable really to problems that exist within Congregations. They're not you think about them for a moment, they're not that different. One maybe is more life-threatening than the other, but in terms of a congregation like yours, basically it could destroy. But basically these agreements, and first of all, as you began that, you can have prayer, continual prayer, and almost on a daily basis. And the group be responsible for that. Prayer is a way not only of communicating with God, but also remembering that
one of
those problems do exist.
One of the objections is following a prayer. That one of the congregations wrote down that one of those things. The criticisms of the pastor that we had was his prayers.
Too long.
Too long. And the passing of
peace
was
objectionable. Yeah, that's the passing of
peace.
Some of you might visit with Dan Erlander, and he would have a real insight on that. The other is the study and reflection. And you need, I think, intentional time for reflection. And it maybe doesn't get done right there at that moment as you're talking about and studying. And then you also, I think, under this, you need support for the people that are involved in the process. Continuous support. The other is from time to time you need to have fun. Some of it gets so serious we forget that being in a congregation can be fun, we can celebrate. You need to have parties. Those sometimes break down those barriers. You might look to ask, you know, in the last 2 years, have you had any parties? Well, we have social, but sometimes social events don't aren't fun.
What fun?
Well, I think that depends on each congregation, but really fun in terms of song, joy, celebration, even having communion being a focus of that. And maybe that would bring out more problems. I don't know.
We have more fun than much.
Trying to establish more personal relationships.
More personal relationships, right.
So it doesn't have to be games and hilarity, but it can be just a serious talk over the phone or whatever. Something that has people touching people.
And the other, of course, is action. You do at some point have to take action. And that maybe is where you're at and having the struggle right now.
Have you considered trying to start a new congregation? This one. Don't
be
the one that can do it.
We were just recently advised by his new name is, our bishop's representative in Portland, that we will not start a new church in Portland. Or anywhere else. And that was made very clear.
I think that's probably a pragmatic approach to it, but it's probably a very realistic one, too.
Can you leave it and go to another one, another congregation?
You can, and there are several of us that are. And we are the so-called sinners because we're leaving. We're being downgraded because of
that. Oh, well. I would leave for my own peace of mind too then. I mean, if just one goal, make a goal of it, and it's just, if you have your own thing, I think I would leave too. Because I would have to think of myself then too. You know, some people just don't want to be peaceable. Mm-hmm. Some people, they find it better to be, contrary.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our own family, I have been going to another church recently, Jerry feels that he needs to stick in there and fight and try to help to make the church grow, because it's a beautiful church. And there are a lot of beautiful people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been going there and working there, and we feel good about the church, but I am to the point where I get physically sick.
And this is a church. This is Christian.
Yes.
What does the world look like if it's in a church like this?
Exactly.
I mean, this is really something.
Is that one person or two person or a group? Well, there's about three or four, maybe five ringleaders. And then they have so convinced the elderly people of the church that they're right. And all of us younger, and we're not that much younger, but all of us younger people just, I don't know what they tell them, but anyway, we just, I guess I'm no good at it.
Okay.
So there, we're good to do the work. You know, we can be in the kitchen and we can be doing all this work, but we don't have a say.
We always, I think, need continual reminders that lay people with. New people coming into the church have all the same responsibilities and share the same life through Christ as those that have been there for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
A very
yeah.
difficult thing to give up.
Yeah.
And we have to have continual reminders of that, I think.
Has
there
been division over the pastor?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
No, we had a division over how we were going to finish the front door of the church.
Material things are things we focus on the most instead of people in the back.
You're saying that the people that seem to be causing the problem are quite a bit elderly?
No. Well, not those three or four or five ringleaders. They're not that
mm-hmm.
elderly. They're in the retirement. I don't know what you call elderly, but they're just after retirement age.
Uh-huh.
But the people that they have talked into or, you know, influenced are the older, like the 70s, 80s, you know, the people that were there when the church started. And of course, in our congregation, they happen to be the money people to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they feel it, since they've got the money, they've got control. Can't see that they have driven away all of these younger families with these younger children. I mean, we've got to have these people.
Yeah. Well, it's a different thing. And are there any opportunities that, of course, I tend to be contrary and have come from contrary back at times, so I know that, well, I don't know if it works today, but are there some sorts of activities or something where these people can feel needed and not left out? Maybe all this other stuff is just superficial and they're instead coming from a feeling of being left out, cut off, suddenly, hey, I'm almost there, it's almost over.
Is there a Bible study or something? Is that what
well,
you're saying?
No.
What are you
saying? Like as simple as washing dishes, helping in the kitchen at something, or baking some cookies, or helping to watch the little children in the nursery with someone else.
We don't want
the money people.
You're giving it all away.
We've
got our big 500 children in the church.
But I think what you're suggesting is inclusion.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
a very basic concept of the church is to be an inclusive church.
Mm-hmm.
It does sound like that's something you're struggling with, is to try and be as inclusive as possible and for people to understand that.
But they won't include us. You know, we're fine if we're doing the work. You know, if we're in the kitchen or if we're serving or whatever, we're fine. But don't let us have any authority. And we're to the point now that all of us workers, we were calling ourselves the workers, we have left. So they're sitting there with the church just falling down because there's no one to do the maintenance, there's no one to be in the kitchen. And, you know, now these people are coming to us and saying that we're the bad people because we've gone. You know, if we do happen to see them at a wedding or, you know, or something else.
But can't you find out in a tactful way why you have left? I mean,
no.
I mean,
no.
Not that there's a risk, you know, pieces. You can't talk to them that way.
No.
That they take offense.
Yeah, and that's why I recommended Paul's second letter, because it was exactly the same kind of problem that Paul was facing. He had written the first letter to the people in Corinth, and it's been very stern and very hard on them, and created some problems. And there does, I think, at times there needs to be frankness, or another word for that is holiness, being whole, together.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps if you come together again, it's hard sometimes to swallow pride, but the Bible does have something to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
To swallow that pride and come back together,
mm-hmm.
and not be arrogant about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Your past has been this one time. How many years has it been? 22.
Well, it takes how far do you want to go back? Pastor Grafholmer was there 3 years. Well, Pastor Olson's been there 8 months now. Pastor Grafholmer was there 3 years. Pastor Swanson was our interim between Kinchu and Grafholmer. He was in retirement. I don't know if you know Rose Swanson. He's in charge of the archives in the jail right now. He was with us 3 years. Pastor Kinchu was with us 7 years.
Yeah. 7 years.
That's been those 10 years. Now you were all together at that time, weren't you?
Well, sure.
Yeah. It was when Pastor Kinchu was there. He is now pastor of Mr. Island. In recent history, he's probably the one that kept us together the best, I would say. He was very strong pastor. He told it like it was to whoever it was.
Yeah, I think that's part of what this, or, you know, to sit down and be very frank with individuals without being judgmental.
But on the bottom of his, when he asked to be relieved, on the bottom, somewhere along the line, he said the strain was too hard for him and his family. Then the next one was Pastor Hart.
Yeah.
How long was Pastor Mark?
Well, he was there quite a
while. Yeah, he was.
I think he was there when the dad died.
Yeah.
He was before he died. And that's gone like 20 years.
Well, just a couple more minutes left. Maybe you have some closing thoughts.
It'll be very difficult to get a pastor to accept that call.
Yeah.
I would like to have a closing thought on it, you know. And,
okay.
I feel that we're all responsible for this thing. I mean, that. Art, the Mavericks and the goodies and the baddies and whatever you want to call them. And I think that we're all for this because we failed to do one simple thing. You know, we were Pastor Larson, Pastor Kinchu, we were rolling along real good, but this was building men and we didn't address the problem. And, you know, my favorite saying is that Augustana is ruled from the dead. That's the people that are there, their fathers, their grandfathers, bless their soul, built this beautiful church. And they do not like to see us change the organ, change the pews, put cushions on the pews, or paint the door a different varnish than what it was, or have the kids paint the rooms and all that. And I can see this, and you should address this problem if you have older people or people whose parents were founders of the church or who were very active in the church. Listen to them, man. And you best can listen to your Sunday school. When your Sunday school children will not come back to Sunday school, you got problems, big problems in that. Then another thing, I think when you call a pastor, that you should sit down with the whole congregation, have a congregational meeting, and let them ask the question. Instead of, we have 18 people in our council, which, that's another thought. I think it's too big, but instead of the council asking this man, what would you do if you came here to Augustana? And you should be sure that you both have the same idea of what's going to happen to you in the next 10 years at your church, because you have to keep your pastor 10 years to stabilize your flock. And the biggest thing that can happen to you is about midway through his term or his
his session at your church, when he decides to move a chair from one side of the church to the other, that you don't have a crack right down along with that chair. And it may seem funny, and
no,
it may seem like we're
not funny.
We're some outside of the Lutheran church at Augustana, but this does happen to a church. There's three churches in the Senate that are going through the same thing we are now, very serious thing that we are going through right now. And here again, I must say, in defense of the bishop, had we not had Tom Blevins up there, the Northwest Senate would be in real problems today. That's all I'm saying.
Any other thoughts before we close? Thank you for all for coming. Perhaps some of us can take some time to spend with these people and share our feelings and our prayers. Thank you.
Thank you.